We continue on this feast of the Epiphany of our Lord, this beautiful day in which the Savior of the world has appeared among us to accompany us in our pilgrimage to happiness, to heaven. We contemplate how the Magi, looking at the star, they were rejoicing and they took gifts with themselves and went across the desert to render homage, to acknowledge the newborn king, to place themselves at the service of that great king. That great king now is with us. The Magi show fidelity to God's will. God proposes to them. The star was not imposing itself on the people. Many saw it, but only the Magi took it seriously, we might say. Only the Magi inserted the message of the star in their own lives. The star affected their life. They conformed their life to the will of God, to what the star was indicating to them. This is what they did. And this is what each one of us has to do. We have to look at the star. Not only the star. We have to look at Jesus Christ present here, accompanying us. We have to look at him, and we have to look at his eyes to read. To read the message that he is proposing to us, a message of grace, a message of joy. It's a message of following him, very close to him every day, singing a new song every day, beginning again. This is Christian life. This is our life. This is your vocation. You may or may not follow Christ. The result is very different in each case. If you follow Christ, you follow the star. If you imitate the fidelity of the Magi in your life, you reach your accomplishment, total accomplishment, which is happiness forever. If you ignore the message that the Lord is proposing to you right now in every day, you don't accomplish yourself. You end up in nothing. Not that you accomplish something else. You don't accomplish anything at all. Your whole life would make no sense whatsoever. It's a futile life, an empty life, full of emptiness, a life full of emptiness, if we may say so. But no, in spite of our limitations, we want to follow Christ like the Magi. They went across the desert with a gift, gold, incense, and myrrh. As at the moment they were lost, as it happened to you and to me, but to every human being. We are not perfect machines. We are not Rolls-Royce cars, which allegedly never break down, never. No. You and I are Kia, okay? Okay. Sometimes we have to go to the repair shop, right? Don't be afraid. The Kia is a good car also. Huh? We need repair, like the Magi. But we are docile. We allow the mechanical to repair the car. We don't say, no, no, no. I am a Rolls Royce, therefore I never need to go to the repair shop. No. Bow your head. Be humble. Look again at the star. If you have lost the reference, look again. Look up. Up. The star is up, not down. Look up to the star. Allow yourself to be fixed, to be beautified. You see, cosmetic means beautifier in Greek. There is a church in Rome, put up by the Greek and the ancient church, and it's called Santa Maria in Cosmedin, because it's an image of Our Lady, very beautiful. And the Greek called her Cosmedin, from cosmetic, no? And the beautiful one, okay? So if you follow the star, the light of the star gets included in your face and you become an image of God. You look like your mother, Our Lady, because the grace of God beautifies the person, because the person becomes accomplished. The Magi began again. They began a new song when they lost the tune. Okay, we lost the pitch, no? They enter again and continue the song. And they found Jesus in the arms of Mary, his mother. Yeah, it makes sense. The little child in the arms of Mary, but the gospel mentions it. They went to the house, doesn't say the cave anymore. That house is the church. That house is your house, your family house. Do I feel a child of my mother, the church? Do I realize that I can find Jesus like the Magi only in the house where Mary lives? Mary is the mother of that household, is the mother of the church, and Saint Joseph is the guardian, our Father in Lord. And there you can find Jesus like the Magi. But listen to this. What did the Magi do? They adore the child Jesus. And they proffer. You can imagine them touching the ground and pushing forward the gifts that God had told them to bring. Gold, incense, and myrrh. You know that sometimes people interpret, well, the gold means this, the myrrh means that. But focus on another angle. The shepherds brought gifts. But we don't know. We are not told what. We assume there was milk and cheese and sheep skins or whatever. We are not told. And why are we told that the major, why so important? Why we are told that? Think of this. Sometimes we want to be generous with God. And we want to offer whatever we fancy to God. As if the choice were ours. I do to God whatever I want. But that's not the point. God prefers a different thing, a different gift. And you know it. It's in front of your eyes. Sometimes the Lord expects from us something, but instead we want to give to him something else. That's why the Magi were told. They offer gold, incense, and myrrh. That is what God wanted them to bring. Yeah. So, now let's apply it to ourselves. Let's tell our Lord, Lord, I know you want me to offer this or that. You want me to stop this or that. You want me to be more consistent coherent in my life, more unified in my willings, the things that I will, the things that I prefer, and instead I offer you something else. Okay? Let's make a gift to God today that is exactly what He likes from you, what He prefers from you. Examine yourself and you will find out what is the gift He wants. And that's what you have to give to Him, this gift. But on the other hand, when we talk about gifts, it's also a gift is something that you give to a newly engaging couple, a married couple, when they are going to get married. Friends come there and bring gifts, right? Well, in a manner of speaking, today is also a day for a wedding. We celebrate a wedding. What wedding? The wedding of God with mankind. No longer God is an enemy, is inscrutable, is unsearchable. God is closer to mankind, to all of us. Specifically, Jesus, the second person, the Blessed Trinity, God Himself, is the groom. And the bride is the church. So it's, in a manner of speaking, also the celebration when the groom meets the bride. The child Jesus meets the Magi, and in him all of, and in them all of us. So it's also the wedding of the Lamb with the bride, which is the church. A bride that has been adorned. Remember, cosmetic, the church is also beautiful, without any stain or wrinkle, because it has been adorned with all the jewelry, all the alhajas, all the hikau, all the that the groom had given him, her. And this is the grace of God, the gifts, the sacrament. Well, do the sacraments come from the groom for the bride? So we rejoice because the church, all of us, the bride, has finally met the groom, Jesus Christ, even though He comes to us like a little child. We meet Him, we adore Him, we accept Him. Jesus comes to us and accompanies us, and we rejoice. What do you think the bride has to do? To love the groom, to love the husband, but most of all, to be faithful to him. Am I ready to be faithful to him? To arrange my life in such a way that I now live for him. Jesus comes to us. Jesus accompanies us. And we live with him. We keep him in our house, in our heart, in our soul, in our thoughts. Is he present in you? He remains with us, and he's a reference for us. Look at him. When this child grows, what is he going to do? Well, he's going to return to Nazareth. And when he was 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, he begins with doing some kind of help in the house, some chores. Saint Joseph will tell him, take the sheep and go out, and because they have not grazed today, bring them grazing there to the green Or Our Lady, can you put help me to put order here? Or Saint Joseph, come on, come to the shop, I teach you how to use the file and how to cut a piece of wood, how to use the saw, the hand saw. He began doing these things. Later on, he took over the whole burden of the shop. Jesus, we see him working there in the shop, in the house of Nazareth. Later on, he will preach. But the point is that we notice a harmony, a balance among the actions of Jesus, what he did, his gesture, the way he expressed his preferences, and his words. His preaching was not the libro, as if he were reading from a book, a preaching of amazing things that he have learned. No. The Lord preached about his life and how we have to reproduce in our life all the features that he is proposing to us, his basic attitude, his love for the others, his compassion for the sinner, his stern demand to those who are desecrating the temple, his patience with the apostles when they did not understand, his fidelity to the friendship of his friends he feels when his friend Lazarus dies. But all these things is in perfect harmony. All these features, actions, gestures, words. That's why people love to listen to him, because he taught them as one who has power that was authentic and not like the scribes and Pharisees. The scribes and Pharisees endlessly repeated things that they have learned in a book. Jesus opened himself up to them, showing them his own life, showing them his heart, the heart of Jesus. And this is how he convinced them and moved them to repentance. Now, you and I are witnesses of Jesus Christ. He is with us. We are with him. And we have to imitate him also in the coherence between the faith that we profess and the deeds that we manifest. Our faith is not something that you leave it in a shelf to consult it from time to time. Meanwhile, you run your life on your own. No. Our faith has to be inserted and manifested in what you do, what you choose, what you manifest. You cannot say, well, faith is faith, but this is business and nothing to do with faith. No. There is no difference between the businessman and the Christian in him. There is no separation. There is no separation between the politician and what he believes. If a politician manifests himself contrary to his faith, or any other profession, of course, a doctor, okay, that believes that abortion is wrong, yet he practices abortion, okay, there is something wrong there. That person is not authentic. He's a fake. Absolutely. You see how the Lord was not a fake. The Lord is authentic. You and I should have that unity of life, that coherence of life, that authenticity of life, that definitely unity of life. We don't establish a separation of what we think and what we do. That's called a liar. A liar is a person who knows that something is like this, yet he manifests his words, reveals the opposite. That's a lie. And the Lord says that the devil is a father of all lies. So it means it doesn't come from Jesus Christ, definitely. It comes from the devil, specifically according to Jesus Christ. Witnesses of Jesus, this is what you are. Do your friends get the impression that you are close to Jesus? Not by the way you speak or the, you know, special tone or... No, no, no. They have to notice how normal you are and how consistent you are with your faith. Love, charity, which is love of God, is manifested with love for the others and cannot be separated. Otherwise, there is no unity of life. In this, they will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So you see how the Lord confirms us in this, that we have to be consistent in our choices. Furthermore, we have to make them with rectitude of intention, that is, doing it for God. You know, human beings are very complicated sometimes. We can be very simply complicated. When we choose something, there could be many layers, okay? Many layers, sapin, sapin, one beside the other, okay? Like hojaldre, we have in Spain something that is hojaldre, very thin layers. Talagang masarap, no? So, very thin layers of cake, no? Hojaldre. And when we choose, sometimes we choose to please God, but also to give a good impression to the others, perhaps, or to change activity, or all these things pile up. Well, when you choose, when you decide to do something, you have to put on top of everything because you want to please God. And when you find a motivation which is not so good, pull it down, press on, down, down, make it disappear. You know, a person may go to Mass to please God, to be in company of God, to be, encouraged in an interior life, which is our good motivation, but also so that the neighbors see me that I am very devout, so that my best friends see that I never, you see, this is not a good motivation. Might not be utterly wrong, but it's not good. Eh? So we have to rectify, that's it, to rectify. How? Well, if you were trying to go to Mass, by all means, go to Mass. Yes, don't stop. But interiorly, rectify and say, Lord, I want to do it for you, only for you, because I love you and because I want to love you more, because I want to begin a new song. And help me so that I don't do it for any other reason, to please the others, to gain points in the face of the others. You see, and this has to be a continuous process to eliminate that not so good intention of vanity, of pride. We have to be exemplary in piety, in charity, in our work, in our detachment. We have to work and work well. Why? First of all, and on top of everything, to please God. Also, to gain money, of course, you have to be a good professional. Yes, it's not wrong, you see, nothing wrong. But it cannot be the ultimate motive, just to make money. You understand this? Or to appear in front of the others a good professional, as the best professional, as a Nobel Prize. No, I want to please God about everything. Well, don't worry. This is a continuous effort that we had to put there to rectify. The Magi went to visit the child Jesus. Well, first, he didn't go there for tourism. You can imagine, no, so I want to visit Jerusalem. I was told that it's an amazing temple. Or I want to spend a vacation there in the West. No, we went to adore. That's why they say, we come here to adore the newborn king, manifesting the most essential and ultimate reason for their pilgrimage. Okay? So they did it for this. Okay? They didn't do it in order to make further research about stars and how the stars and no. They began for professional motives, but they immediately shifted to, we come to adore God, okay? Not just investigate what is happening with the star. Let's imitate Our Lady. Coupling our desire to do and please God with our desire to talk about God, as Jesus did. So the apostolate has to be an overflow of interior life. Our work has to be also apostolate and interior life. We have to find God not only when we go to Mass, but throughout the day, maintaining presence of God, that is unity of life, and rectifying our intentions. Tell our Lord now, child Jesus, I want to adore you like the Magi. I want to do everything, absolutely everything, to please you, to do it the manner you want, because you want it, and because I want to do it for you. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations you have communicated to me in this meditation. I beg your help in performing them. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.